Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here. I'm going to invite all of you, whether you are visitors or longtime attenders or something in between, to take some time this morning to fill out this connection card that's in your bulletin and then drop that in the offering plate when it comes your way later this morning. This morning after worship, we have our ice cream social downstairs. I hope you're planning to come to that because there's going to be a lot of ice cream and all the fixins, and we need people to eat it. Plus, it's a great time to connect with each other and make new friends and connect with old friends and so forth. A reminder that next Sunday, we kick off all of our second hour church school classes for the new church program year. And we hope that you'll take a look at those offerings. And during the ice cream social, you can ask questions of people who are involved in those classes and see where you might want to head next week. Also, if you are an undergraduate or graduate student, our campus fellowship meets every Wednesday night at 5:30 for a free home-cooked meal, followed by a great time of friendship and discussion. We wrap up at 7:30, and it's right in the building connected to us next door. Hope that you will come out for that. I'm going to invite Bonnie Kidd, our choir director, up.
Good morning. Oh, that was okay. Good morning. All right, very good. All right. So, you all know that I'm a teacher. So I have some questions for you to ponder. You do not need to raise your hand, because I know to all my questions you would raise your hand. But you don't need to. So here are your questions. Are you ready? Question number one. Do you enjoy singing? Two, do you enjoy singing with others? Question number three, do you enjoy praying with others and for others? Question number four, would you like to come out to church on another day that is not Sunday and have fun? Question number five, would you like to have monthly snack time? Oh, I know that got some. Question number six. Would you like to become a better reader of music? Question number seven. Do you love a challenge? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then we have a place for you. Up there in the church choir. We rehearse every Thursday night from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And we're looking for singers in all of our sections. All of our sections. So if you'd like more information, just come and talk to me or talk to anybody in our awesome choir that does their thing every single week. We are a small group. We pray together. We love each other. And we would love to have some new people join us. So we would love to have you too. Thank you for allowing me my pitch.
Thank you, Bonnie. And now the Lord, our God, maker of heaven and earth, who loves us more than we can fathom, and is nearer to us than we realize, and wants our good more than we even want it ourselves. The Lord our God is among us, and so we worship with joy and with gratitude.
Thank you. If you're able, please stand. Let us pray. Dear God, you have helped us through many tough times in our lives. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be a bright light in this world. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Testament reading is from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving Lord, we open our hearts to your love. We open our minds to your truth. We open our lives to the power of your Spirit. In wonder and in trust, we lift to you now all our praise and all our prayers. In these moments, we are so mindful of the many crushing concerns in our world. We grieve for the loss of life from Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma, and we pray for those who mourn. We ache for those in all the communities in the Caribbean now, who are facing horrific devastation, and in Texas and Louisiana, who are still reeling from their own losses. We pray for those in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and the Carolinas as they brace for what comes. Keep watch, O Lord, over all those who are vulnerable and who are in fear and who are in mourning. We pray also for first responders, recovery workers, and those who offer shelter and kindness. We pray too for your good earth, for all the animals in it, for all creation, and for the will and the wisdom to act in protection and care of it. Even as these storms occupy our attention and our concern, we recognize that other disasters are storming across the landscapes of other lives, and we pray for them too. We especially pray for the dreamers. We pray for your people in all places who work for peace, who stand for hope, who offer love in all its forms. May we, your church, be these people. May we, your church, shine with the light of your peace and hope and love. As recipients of your amazing grace, we cannot help but offer to your care those in special need of that grace right now. And so we pray for Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, Robert, Leonard Moore. For the Jones family, John Wallace, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, Kim and Jason Weaver, the family of Garrett Halpert, Barb and Bob, Nancy Wilson, Dave, Tim Lett, David, Valerie Nebbia, Claudio, and Joe. For the Karch family in Tampa, for our church family friends, relatives, and other friends in Florida, for all of those affected by the string of hurricanes in the Caribbean islands, states, and countries. And for the Rosario family, who lost everything in St. Thomas. We also offer you now our private prayers in silence. God, you are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not fear. You are with us. You are our refuge. In confidence, then, we pray in the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We listen now to words from the letter to the Ephesians. The gifts that God gave were that some should be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into the one who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is my pleasure to invite the children to join us here.
This is fun. We have some backpacks, some flashcards. What is all this about? What just happened recently? Why do you all have your backpacks?
Because school started.
Because school just started. I have a question for you, just like Bonnie had a question for all of us, I have a question for you. What are some things that you learn about? What are some things that you learn about?
Tying your shoes.
Tying your shoes. What's something else we learned about?
Pascal's triangle.
What else might you learn this year, do you think? What else? What other things do you learn about? Andrew?
Boring fifth grade math.
Sometimes fifth grade math can be boring. What are you going to learn about this year?
Cheers.
Sharing, taking turns. What else might we learn about when we're at school?
Times and division.
Ooh, multiplication and division.
Homework.
Ooh, you might have some homework to learn. So you're going to have all kinds of things that you're learning about this year. How to play games in ways that are good for everybody. How to learn new songs. How to read, maybe. Maybe you'll do some learning about what Jesus was all about. Okay, so today is about all these things that we're learning. You have one more?
Science.
Science. And then you have a whole bunch of ways to learn. How might you learn? Who's going to teach you, in other words? Who are some of the people who will help you learn things? What do you think? Who will help you learn things? Who's your teacher?
Miss Moisio.
Miss Moisio. I bet Shanae is going to teach you some things in singing. I bet our pastors are going to teach us some things this year. Your church school teachers will teach you some things. I wonder if your friends will teach you some things. And I bet if you pay attention while you're learning, you will teach yourself some things. You will notice some things. Andrew, what are you thinking?
What I can teach myself is how to play video games.
Practicing video games, you are learning more about video games. Yeah, good. Well, we today are going to take some time to thank God for you as learners, all the things you're going to learn about this year at church and at school, and we're going to celebrate all the people who will teach you. That's going to happen right now. We're going to do something called a blessing. So can you stand up, and if you have a backpack, you can put it on your back if you'd like. If you have a school supply, you can hold it in your hands. If you need some, I have more up here. And congregation, you will see in your bulletin that there is a refrain or a blessing prayer that you're going to pray to. We're going to do that after we bless three groups of learners. And you'll see there in your congregational response that there's learning / teaching. And we'll use the learning first, and then we'll have a time to pray for the teachers. So let's stand up together, and we're going to pray a blessing on you, and I'm going to touch you on your head while we do it. Your church family believes that each one of you is a precious gift from God. We pray that you will find joy and wonder in your learning. May God bless you and your backpacks, that you may develop hearts that care and minds that seek to understand God's world. May it be so. Did I get all of your heads? Did I miss anybody? All right. You may go sit with your grown-ups, and then we're going to pray this prayer for the youth and the college kids, too.
I invite the middle school and high school students to stand. Youth, your church family believes that each of you is a gift from God filled with potential and possibility. We pray that you will have curious minds and compassionate hearts, that you will have courage in the face of peer pressure, and that you will have a faith that finds concrete expression in your daily life. May God bless these youth, that they may grow in wisdom and in truth. You guys may be seated. Now I invite all of our undergraduate and graduate students to stand. You may be far from home, or not. Either way, this church family embraces you as its own. We pray that you will have open minds and faithful hearts, that you will find peace and wisdom in the face of competing demands and challenges, and that you will know that you are loved. May God bless these students in their ongoing quest for knowledge and truth, that they may become more fully like Christ in thought, word, and deed. Amen. You may be seated. And now, congregation, join in our blessing response. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of learning. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come.
Now we'll ask all educators to stand. That's teachers of any kind at any level of education, administrators, others who help students in learning. Every day, you stand alongside learners of all ages, offering your wisdom, guidance, and support. We pray that you will have every strength and resource that you need to offer your gifts, that you will find grace in the face of daily pressures, and that students and colleagues will perceive your faith. May God bless these educators and staff, that they may model their lives on Jesus, who was the best teacher and friend. You may be seated.
Now we'd like to take a moment to bless those who are going to be working in our Christian education ministry, whether you're a nursery volunteer or a church school teacher, work with the youth, with our adult programming. Would you please stand at this time? You share your time and gifts as you teach and care for our babies, our children, our youth, and our adults.
As a congregation, we commit ourselves as learners, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will nourish and equip you for the responsibility of nurturing the faith of others. May God bless these teachers and other volunteers so that their faith may grow and be strengthened as they seek to lead others in a deeper relationship with Jesus and a stronger faith in God. We bless them together. We pray for you.
May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You would think that kids would not like it when September comes looming and a school year starts. Sweet summer is over. Bye-bye, freedom. Here comes the homework, the hours in the classroom, studying at night, deadlines, tests, grades. Headed for that? What kid wouldn't feel some dread, some panic, lamentation? There's some of that for sure. But what I notice most of all in kids going to school this week, all grade levels, is smiling faces, happy chatter, good energy, and other signs that they're fine with it, and more than fine. Now, is it all about the friendship? That's a lot of it, but it's not all of it. Deep down, conscious or not, there is a pleasure at the prospect of learning. The lure of new understandings, new insights and skills, a better grasp on what is real and not real, what is true and what is possible. For most of us, there's adventure in it. Looks like this is something native to our species. An urge to know more, a hunger to learn. And our faith would say, this desire is God-given. That being made in God's image, we've got this yearning deeply planted in us to grow in our comprehension, gaining greater understanding of the world. And no realm of knowledge is outside that God-given quest. Science, mathematics, even boring fifth grade math. The arts, the social sciences, psychology, medicine, and law, and ethics, and religion, and the life of the spirit. All those fields of learning are within the scope of what the human family is supposed to be under God. Which is why people of faith should respect and honor science and the arts and all the rest. It is also why we dedicate ourselves here to the never-ending education of ourselves in every aspect of our calling in Christ. Whatever else the church is, we are a community of learning. We practice education together in all that it means to live like children of God in this world. Some of us do this because we are hoping to become honest to God Christians. Many will say you become a Christian the moment you invite Jesus into your heart, into your life, to welcome Christ as Lord of your life is to become a Christian. Yes. But to that truth, we should add some words about what comes before and what comes after. For many of us, myself included, what came before saying yes to the gospel was years of hearing the stories, learning the songs, learning who we were as God's children, being loved and nurtured by caring folk at church and committed parents at home, being instructed in the way that leads to life. Many of us were fortunate early on to know we were beloved and to know love's claim on our lives. So I was shaped a Christian long before I decided I'd be one. Scott Mamaday is a Native American writer and winner of the Pulitzer Prize. He is of the Kiowa people. He tells the story that one day, early in the morning, his father got him up, said, "Let's go." And though he was sleepy, he let his father take his hand and lead him, and he led him to an old woman's house in the tribe. And the father said, "Later, I'll be back." And the old woman began to tell him stories of their people and to sing the old songs and to describe the ritual. And to tell how the Kiowa were born at the mouth of the Yellowstone, and about their migration southward, and their fighting with other tribes, and the buffalo hunt, and the great blizzards, and the coming of the white men, and the confinement, and the starvation, and the reservation. all day, until just before dark, the boy's father arrived and said, "Let's go." Scott Momaday says, "When I left her house, I was a Kiowa." And that is what we do here. We tell the stories of our people and sing our songs and speak of the way we know. We do this with children. We do this in loving community for all of us, and the yearning, the deep learning, it forms us and empowers us to say, many of us, we are Christ people. But the saying of that is very far from the end of that. The learning that leads to the choosing Christ is prelude to the long journey of a deeper education as to what it's going to look like in me and in you. Maya Angelou said that sometimes when people would come up to her and say they were Christian, her answer would be, "Already?" Even if you can look back to a definite time and say, "On that day, I became a Christian," who among us can say, "I'm there"? And so the need and the hunger to go on and on learning. So maybe you noticed in the psalm today the repeated prayer in those few lines, "Teach me your way. Help me to know. Show me your path. Teach me. Teach me." Can any of us live without desire to learn more, to be taught, to live more faithfully and powerfully in this world? If not, how arrogant. Shall we really settle for a finished religion? Are we really so fine with the present limits of our powers to love, our current capacity to discern what is best and then to do it, satisfied with our present understanding of the ultimate and of our relation to the ultimate? Are we done with the big question? Done with God? Done with growing? So yes, the learning goes on, it had better, with open-hearted, open-minded humility, we long to learn more. That is a huge part of the church's life if the church wants to be faithful. It's part of what worship is for, the learning, and not just from what a sermon might say, thank goodness. The learning is also in the music that we make and the rituals and the prayers and even the silences. All of that can give shape to mind, to heart, to life. And then when we leave this room, we move to classrooms, the children, young people, adults of all ages, we gather to listen, to talk, to learn about living this life in this world. And there are gatherings at other times, small groups also learning, and there is the hands-on ministry we seek to do together. Like, for example, the meals we serve on Tuesday nights for low-income people, including the homeless. And that is learning, because some of the best learning we ever do about what it means to be the children of God doesn't come by words. It comes by fidelity to what we know to do. What's all this learning supposed to be for? In Paul's words, it's about becoming mature, about growing up, being equipped for the work that is ours to do. And why must it never end? Because love never ends. And love is never ending, not just in that it lasts all the way through time and beyond time. Love is never ending in its reach, in its depths, which are fathomless, and in the wideness of its compassion for all the world. How can we not abandon ourselves to grow in the knowledge of so much? But there's more urgent need to keep learning. It is because the world keeps changing, and so many of its changes are dangerous. Every week, new circumstances, personal and global, new storms, new travesties of justice, new challenges, new opportunities, new uncertainties. What is being asked of us now? Can you discern what the gospel wants of you, of us, in this new moment? What divine love seeks to give to you, to us, in this new day? And what must we learn to unlearn about ourselves, about our world, about God? For very often, a central part of the learning is the unlearning of what we were badly taught. There's an element of this process that each of us must undertake on our own, by ourselves, to reflect, to pray, to meditate on the scriptures, to make very personal choices, to learn and grow. But far more powerfully, this is work we do together. When the great commandment was given to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, some other words were appended. Did you hear Alexandra read them? After the commandment comes instruction to never, ever stop talking with each other about this. Recite it to your children, it says. And talk about it among yourselves. Do it day and night when you're at home, when you're away. Elie Wiesel, the great Holocaust survivor, writer, Nobel Peace Prize winner, said, "Education must almost by definition always bring people together, bring generations together. How much more so in the education of our faith and what it means for living the love of God in the lives that we're given. Now, here is a suggestion. Call to your mind, if you are able, some people from your faith communities, past or present, who by word or gesture or example taught you, brought you to new understandings of yourself, of this world, of God. Maybe church school teachers, maybe youth leaders, mentors, friends. Maybe it was children who taught you. Picture their faces And then with all your heart, give thanks that they were there for you and led you to grow. And then make a fresh commitment, a decision that you want to be part of that. A community of mutual learning in the things that matter most. A fellowship for giving shape to each other's character and faith. You know what we'd be helping to form? A revolution for you, me, us, and a revolution for the world, which has been waiting for it. Passing of offering plates is an opportunity for learning too, I guess. We have commitment cards. We have material possession. Let us make the offerings that are ours to give today. Let's do that in faith. Let's do that in openness to all that God would give as we also give.
Thank you.
giver of every good and perfect gift, now lift our longing as we lift our praise to the fulfilling of your desire for us. Lift our desire for you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Given every good gift by the hand of a gracious God, let us extend to each other the best of news. The peace of Christ be with you. Thank you.
to love the Lord your